In His Word, God has revealed many, many wonderful principles that are very encouraging and will help us greatly. One of those principles is found in Romans 8 in verse 28, where the Apostle Paul wrote, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." When I'm studying the Scriptures, I especially enjoy seeing how these great Bible principles that are revealed are also illustrated. That gives us confidence that we can trust in them, and we can see how other people were blessed as a result of complying with God's will. And that will help us at all times, but especially during times of difficulty. Well, this particular principle we read in Romans 8 and verse 28 is illustrated many times in the Bible. We've looked at a number of great Bible characters which show this particular principle in action. Right now, we're studying from the book of Genesis that shows how all things work together for good in the life of Joseph. Joseph is a great Bible character. We need to study about him very carefully and learn from him. This evening, for a little while, we want to study the information given Genesis chapter 46. And in a nutshell, as we study this chapter, we will see that Jacob moved his family to Egypt, and he was reunited with his son Joseph. And what a happy occasion that must have been. And as we read about it, you might be impressed, as I am, with how brief it is. You know, if man had written this on his own, he would have spent several chapters talking about the reunion between Jacob and Joseph. But I think you just might be surprised at the few words that are used to describe that reunion. Well, prior to the information that's recorded in chapter 46, keep in mind that Jacob sent his sons to Egypt two times to buy grain. Remember that Pharaoh had dreams and Joseph interpreted those dreams. And as Joseph interpreted Pharaoh's dreams, he showed that there would be 7 years of plenty followed by 7 years of famine. And of course, Joseph was put in charge of storing up grain during the years of plenty, so that the people would have something to eat during the years of famine. Well, the famine affected the people living in the land of Canaan. That's where Jacob and his family lived. And when he sent his sons down to Egypt the second time to buy some grain, Joseph finally made himself known to his brothers. Now, prior to this, when Joseph's brothers appeared before him, he recognized them immediately, but they did not recognize him. But on this second visit, when his brothers came to buy some grain, he finally revealed himself to his brothers. As he did so, Joseph told his brothers to bring their father Jacob and all their families down to Egypt so that he could take care of them. Go back to chapter 45. Let's read just a few verses, starting at verse 9. Now this is Joseph speaking to his brothers. "Haste ye, and go up to my father, and say unto him, Thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not. Thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children, and thy children's children, and thy flocks, and thy herds, and all that thou hast. And there will I nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household, and all that thou hast, come to poverty." Well, Jacob's sons told him all about Joseph. And at first, Jacob did not believe them. But when he saw the wagons that had been brought from Egypt, he was convinced that Joseph was alive, and he was determined to make that trip to Egypt so that he could see his son. Look at verses 27 and 28. These are the last two verses of chapter 45. And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons, which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived. And Israel said, "It is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die." That brings us to chapter 46. And we want to point out from the first four verses that Jacob and his family began their journey to Egypt. They went to Beersheba. Verse 1. And Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices unto the God of his father Isaac. And God spake unto Israel in the visions of the night and said, "Jacob, Jacob." And he said, "Here am I." And he said, "I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. And I will go down with thee into Egypt, and I will also surely bring thee up again, and Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes." When Jacob and his family went to Beersheba, the first thing that Jacob did was offer sacrifices to God. He had learned some good news, that his son Joseph was alive, and he was determined to make that trip down to Egypt so that he could see Joseph. After that, God spoke to Jacob. And God told Jacob to go down to Egypt. It would appear that Jacob may have had some misgivings about going down to Egypt, because God told him to fear not. That would imply that maybe there was some misgiving on his part about making the trip down to Egypt. Now, he wanted to go and see Joseph, but remember that God had promised to give the land of Canaan to Jacob and to his descendants. And now he's leaving Canaan to go to Egypt. It just seems that maybe he had some misgivings about going, and God told him to not fear, but to go down to Egypt, and he would be able to be reunited with Joseph. God said that he would go with Jacob, he would bless him, and in Egypt his family would develop into a great nation of people. Now, through all of this, we need to keep in mind some of the promises that God made to Abraham years earlier. God said that he was going to give the land of Canaan to Abraham and to his descendants. He also said that Abraham would be the father of a great nation of people. Now, God revealed that information to Abraham when he was 75 years old. Abraham waited 25 years for Isaac to be born. Now, Abraham had other children, but Isaac was the son of promise. God's promises would be carried on through Isaac and no one else. Well, that's interesting. Abraham would be the father of a great nation. He had one son, the son of promise, that is, Isaac. God repeated the promises he had made to Abraham to Isaac. Isaac had two sons, Jacob and Esau. Of course, Jacob received the birthright that rightly belonged to Esau because he was the firstborn. Esau gave it up. Jacob was the one that God promised to bless. So God had said to Abraham he'd make him the father of a great nation. He had one son, Isaac. And now more years have passed. Isaac has two sons, Jacob and Esau, but Jacob is the chosen one. Now, Jacob had 12 sons. A number of years have passed, and we will see how the promises made to Abraham are gradually coming to pass. Now, God works on His time schedule. He doesn't work on our time schedule. And we would do well to keep that in mind when we talk to God through prayer. We need to pray for His will to be done. But then we need to exercise some patience. Sometimes that's a challenge for us. But keep in mind that God made those special promises to Abraham way back in Genesis chapter 12. Years have passed. Abraham is no longer around. But those promises are being fulfilled. Well, after God spoke to Jacob, Jacob took his family, all their belongings, and their animals down to Egypt. Let's continue at verse 5. And Jacob rose up from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried Jacob their father and their little ones and their wives in the wagons which Pharaoh had sent to carry him. And they took their cattle and their goods which they had gotten in the land of Canaan and came into Egypt, Jacob and all his seed with him, his sons and his sons' sons with him, his daughters and his sons' daughters, and all his seed brought he with him into Egypt. So Jacob is moving his entire family down to Egypt. Remember that God had said to Abraham that his family would spend about 400 years in a foreign land where they would be servants, and when the time was right, they would finally go and take the land of Canaan. Well, let's continue. The names of all of those who went to Egypt are listed out for us. We want to read about those in verses 8 through 27. Now you need to keep in mind that Jacob had children by four women. Leah and Rachel were sisters. He also had children by their handmaidens. Now the women's names who bore Jacob children were Leah, Zilpah, Rachel, and Bilhah. Let's read about Leah's children. Verse 8. These are the names of the children of Israel which came into Egypt: Jacob and his sons, Reuben, Jacob's firstborn, and the sons of Reuben, Hanok, Phallu, Hezron, Carmi, and the sons of Simeon, Jemuel, Jamin, and Ohad, and Jachin, and Zohar, and Shael, the son of a Canaanitish woman, and the sons of Levi, Gershon, Kohath, and Merari, and the sons of Judah, and Onan, and Shelah, and Phares and Zerah. But and Onan died in the land of Canaan. And the sons of Phares were Hezron and Hamul. And the sons of Issachar, Tola, and Fuva, and Job, and Shimron. And the sons of Zebulun, Sered, and Elon, and Jahleel. These be the sons of Leah, which she bare unto Jacob and Padan Aram, with his daughter Dinah, and all the souls of his sons and his daughters were 33. Now that was Jacob's family through his wife Leah. Let's read about the children that Jacob had with Zilpah. Verse 16. And the sons of Gad, Shiphan and Haggai, Shunai and Esbon, Iri, and Arodi, and Areli, and the sons of Asher, Jimna, and Ishua, and Isui, and Beriah, and Sira their sister, and the sons of Beriah, Heber, and Malkiel. These are the sons of Zilpah, whom Laban gave to Leah his daughter, and these she bare unto Jacob, even 16 souls. Now remember that Jacob had, I believe, four sons with Leah, and then she stopped bearing children. And she decided to give her handmaiden to Jacob, and he had additional children with her. Let's read about the sons or the children of Jacob with Rachel, verse 19. The sons of Rachel, Jacob's wife, Joseph and Benjamin. And unto Joseph in the land of Egypt were born Manasseh and Ephraim, which Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bare unto him. And the sons of Benjamin were Bela and Becher and Ashbel, Gera, Naaman, Ehi, and Rosh, Muppim, and Huppim, and Ard. These are the sons of Rachel, which were born to Jacob. All the souls were 14. Now Rachel gave her handmaiden Bilhah to Jacob to have children with. And let's read about her children. Verse 23. And the sons of Dan, Husham, and the sons of Naphtali, Jahzeel and Guni, and Jezer and Shillem. These are the sons of Bilhah, which Laban gave unto Rachel his daughter, and she bare these unto Jacob. All the souls were 7. Now let's look at verses 26 and 27, and we will see exactly how many people we're talking about. All the souls that came with Jacob into Egypt, which came out of his loins, besides Jacob's sons' wives, all the souls were 66. And the sons of Joseph, which were born him in Egypt, were 2 souls. All the souls of the house of Jacob, which came into Egypt, were 70. Do you see the number finally beginning to increase? Abraham once had one son of promise, Isaac. Isaac had 2 sons, Jacob and Esau. Jacob was the son that was chosen by God. Now Jacob had 12 sons. They had children. And the total number of people in Jacob's family settling in Egypt was 70. Now that included Joseph, his wife, and 2 sons. The number is gradually beginning to increase. God had said with Abraham would be the father of a great nation of people. His number of descendants would be compared to the stars up in the heavens or the grains of sand by the seaside. Well, the number has finally increased to 70. Now, it's taken a while, but God is working on his time schedule. And isn't it interesting how this famine played an important role in all of this? You see, God will accomplish his will regardless of what takes place. Well, let's read about the settling of Jacob and his family in the land of Goshen. Now, that's the part of Egypt where they settled. Verse 28. And he sent Judah before him unto Joseph to direct his face unto Goshen. And they came into the land of Goshen. And Joseph made ready his chariot and went up to meet Israel his father to Goshen and presented himself unto him. And he fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while. And Israel said unto Joseph, Now let me die, since I have seen thy face, because thou art yet alive. And Joseph said unto his brethren and unto his father's house, I will go up and show Pharaoh and say unto him, My brethren and my father's house, which were in the land of Canaan, are come unto me. And the men are shepherds, for their trade hath been to feed cattle, and they have brought their flocks and their herds and all that they have. And it shall come to pass, when Pharaoh shall call you, and shall say, What is your occupation? That ye shall say, Thy servant's trade hath been about cattle from our youth, even until now, both we and also our fathers, that we may dwell in the land of Goshen, for every shepherd is an abomination unto the Egyptians. Now earlier, Joseph had indicated that his family was to live in Goshen. There's a reason for that. Well, when the family was moving down to Egypt, Jacob sent his son Judah ahead so that he would bring Joseph up to Goshen. Joseph then traveled to Goshen, where he met his father. As I mentioned earlier, it amazes me how that reunion is summed up in just those few words. Joseph made ready his chariot and went up to meet Israel, his father, to Goshen, and presented himself unto him, and he fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while. Those few words sum up the reunion between Jacob and Joseph. Don't you know they had a good cry? After all of the years of heartache, the turmoil that had existed, everything that had gone on, they're finally reunited, and they had a good cry. Well, after Jacob saw Joseph, he made an important statement. He said that he could now die in peace. Well, we need to appreciate that, we need to remember how Jacob felt when he thought that Joseph was killed by a wild animal. His family came to try to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. He said, "I'll go to my grave grieving." You read about that in chapter 37. Now that's the way that Jacob felt when he thought that his son Joseph was killed by a wild animal. You know, I've wondered many times what Jacob's son said to him. It's not recorded. Do you suppose they went back and rehearsed the whole matter from beginning to end? If I had been Jacob, I don't know how I would have felt toward my sons. But he loved all of his children. Now, he especially loved Joseph. But now he has learned that his son is alive. He's been reunited with him. And as far as he's concerned, he has no reason to live any longer. He could now die in peace. Now Joseph, in talking with his family, told them how to answer Pharaoh when he questioned them about their occupation. They were to tell Pharaoh that they took care of animals. They were shepherds. Now that's important because it would allow Pharaoh to allow them to live in the area of Egypt known as Goshen. That would be very good for them and all of their animals. Now we have to keep in mind that the Egyptians did not have kind feelings toward shepherds. It's unclear as to exactly why the Egyptians felt that way, but it could be that they considered people who took care of animals to have the reputation of what we would call cattle rustlers. It could also be that the idea of sacrificing animals to God may have bothered the Egyptians. We're just simply going on speculation here. Those are some possibilities. We do know this. We do know how the Egyptians felt toward shepherds. They considered shepherds to be an abomination. But we're talking about Joseph's family. We know how Pharaoh felt toward Joseph. He made him the number two ruler in the whole land.
Well,
in Goshen, and I think this is the main point that we need to get from this, Jacob's family in Goshen would have been kept separate from many of the Egyptians. That way they could be able to take care of their cattle and raise them and so forth. They wouldn't have any problem with the Egyptians because they'd actually be living in the area designated as Goshen. Now all this was settled ahead of time. When Joseph revealed himself to his brothers, he said, go back to Canaan, get Jacob, your families, and come down to Egypt where you will live in the land of Goshen. Joseph had all of this planned out. And now he's telling them that when they finally meet Pharaoh for the first time, I think Joseph figured that Pharaoh would ask his brothers what they did for a living. They would, of course, say, we've been tending animals all of our lives. Pharaoh would allow them to live in the land of Goshen, and that would benefit everybody involved. So some of the details fall into place when we understand various points. Some details, and these are things that we must not overlook. But it's interesting that 70 souls are now in Egypt. The promises that God made to Abraham years earlier are gradually being fulfilled. I've thought many times what it would have been like to be present when Jacob and Joseph had their reunion. I think I've told you about this before, but when Teresa and I lived in South Texas, occasionally we'd be able to visit my family in Jacksonville, and it was exactly 1,000 miles from where we live to my parents' driveway. It'd take us about a day and a half. But I could tell my parents ahead of time, pretty close to when we would be arriving. Now, of course, you know, when you make a trip like that, on Interstate 10 especially, you never know what you might run into, especially on the west side of Jacksonville. But I could tell my parents pretty close when we would be arriving. Every time we made that trip, when I pulled into the driveway where my parents lived, I knew what to expect. My daddy had a chair, and he'd be up there right behind the car waiting on us. Well, maybe that'll help us appreciate how Jacob must have felt to be reunited with his son Joseph. He thought that he'd been eaten by a wild animal. And to fully appreciate, we need to remember that Jacob sent Joseph to check on his brothers when all of that supposedly took place, when he thought that Joseph was eaten by a wild animal. So naturally, he'd be blaming himself and carrying the burden of that for all those years. But you know, it's interesting what a good cry will help you relieve. God gave us our emotions, and he expects us to use them. Now we have to control them. But crying is a release. Sometimes it's a release of joy. Sometimes it's a release of sadness. But I just suspect when the Bible says they wept on each other for a good while, they just had a good cry. You know, there are several times in the Bible when we read about people having a good cry, I can't help but think about Peter. After he denied Christ the third time, the Lord looked at him, and Peter remembered what Jesus had said, and he did about the only thing he could do. He went out, and he wept bitterly. Well, maybe that will help us appreciate when Solomon said, there's a time to laugh, there's also a time to weep. Well, after that time of weeping, I suspect there was a time for joy. Well, we're glad that Jacob was able to make that trip down to Egypt. We will see that he lived quite a few years longer.